Good morning. Let's begin. So we left off yesterday. We left off yesterday that Ella Bavilon, second last line on the bottom. So the Gemara said, remember, we're trying to figure out, the Mishnah said that you can go ahead and send shatnas in Kilayim to someone on Yom Tov. So the Gemara is trying to figure out, well, what possible use can shatnas actually play? So the Gemara says, Ella Bavilon, we're talking about over here a curtain. And again, so the Gemara says, what could a curtain be used for? V'hamar ulam ipnei ma amru vilon tameh. Why is it that a vilon, a curtain, could be makabel tumah? Mipnei sha shamash mischamim kenegdo. Because of also what you could do with the curtain is what? The shamas, when he's going ahead and working, if he gets a little chilly, he can wrap himself in the vilon. He could cover himself with it. Ella, so the problem, of course, is, the vilon then is, if we're dealing with a shatnez vilon, you can't actually use that because lamais then one would be wrapping themselves in this vilon, which would be problematic. Ella bikashin. Rather, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about stiff fabric. V'chi hada amravuna b'reid Rav Yoshua, hainamta gamda dinarash. This hard felt from the city of Narash, Sharia Bosa means in this case, you're allowed to sit on it. Why? Because Lamaisa, because it's thick and stiff fabric, because of that, again, there's no chashash that it's going to wrap itself around you. And because of that, Lamaisa, there's no issue of Kilayim. Amar Rapapa said, Ardalin ain bahan mishum kilayim. Along the same lines, Rapapa said, Ardalin. What are Ardalin? Rashi says, Reisi b'tshuvas hagaonim, sheregimin lilavshan tachas min aleihem. This apparently was some type of layer that they wore underneath their shoes. V'tolim aleihem or shel tayashim ubadim, tachas karko isan, u'kineget ha'egev shel regel. So this is some kind of shoe insert that they used to go at this. Again, apparently sometimes it would be made from kilayim, but lemais, again, it's mutter. Why? Because at the end of the day, because it's stiff fabric, it would not in any way wrap itself around the foot. Amar Rava, hani tsurari dipshiti, ein bahem mishum kilayim. Rava said, these tsari dipshiti, look at Rashi, beget kilayim shetzorin bo ma'os, mutar lisitan b'cheiko. So the Gemara says over here that if you have a shatnez coin purse. If you have a shatnez coin bag, you're allowed to go ahead and put it on your lap. And again, the idea would be that one might have thought that putting it on your lap might provide some warmth to the individual. Shamos mekashin also then mishaim. Because I guess for some reason Rashi says the money causes the material to stiffen, and therefore the material does not in any way contour to one's body, and therefore does not provide any kind of warmth. However, de barzoni yeshba mishum kilayim, but a bag in which you hold seeds, that is a person, that bag in which you hold seeds, one cannot put onto their lap, because that ultimately would provide warmth, and therefore would be a problem of shatnez. Ravashi said, Echad zeh v'echad zeh, ein bahen mishum kilayim. Ravashi, on the other hand, said, no, both this one and that one have no issue of kilayim. Why? Lefi she'ein derech chimum bekach. Because lemaisa, at the end of the day, this is not the derech of chimum. This is not the way that one warms themselves. So the idea is, although there may be some warmth that would come from these particular items, because that's not the normal derech, therefore it's permitted. Okay, so just bottom line, for our purposes, what comes out from the Mishnah is the case of shatnez that can be sent to an individual on Yom Tov is a case ultimately, again, of a hard fabric that technically speaking you could use to sit on, so it's usable for yeshiva, but because it's stiff fabric, it won't wrap itself around the individual, and therefore, again, no problem of shatnez. So the Gemara says the following: Avalos sandal hamasumer, but you may not send someone in Yom Tov a spiked sandal. So the Gemara says sandal hamasumer my time alo. Why can't you send someone a spiked sandal? So the Gemara says mishum ma'ase shahaya, because of the episode that occurred. And Rashi says ma'ase shahaya b'meseches Shabbos perek b'ma ishayotza. So also remember we saw this Gemara that there was a time of religious persecution. The Jews were going ahead and the Jews were hiding. There are two versions of the story, but the simple version is they thought that the Romans were coming in And there was started a panic and a stampede. And because the people are wearing these spiked sandals, the Gemara says they killed more of each other than the Romans did of them. So because of that, now it happened that episode occurred on Shabbos. Because that episode occurred on Shabbos, Chazal said, you cannot wear the sandal hamasumer on Shabbos. Amr Abaye said, sandal hamasumer asra lena'alo, umutra letaltalo. Abaye said, the sandal hamasumer, as much as you're not allowed to wear it, you are permitted to carry it. So the Gemara says, lena'alo mishumai seshahaya, you're not permitted to wear it because of the episode that occurred. Umutra letaltalo, but you are permitted to carry it. Why? Midiktani in mishalchin, because the Mishnah says you may not send it. The Rabbi said, the fact that the Mishnah says you may not send it, because if it was true that you weren't allowed to carry it or handle it at all, then obviously Rabbi said, if you can't even touch it or handle it, then lemaisa, of course, what? Of course, it goes without saying that you are not permitted to go ahead and send it. So the Gemara understands a raya from the Mishnah that although you're not permitted to wear it, you are in fact permitted to go ahead and handle it. And Rashi says, why? Diklihu. Because at the end of the day, it can be, even though you can't wear it as a shoe, it is usable ultimately as a kli. So the Gemara says, "Velo minal sheino tafer." You may not go ahead and send a shoe that is not sewn. So the Gemara says, "Pshita." That's obvious, because meaning what is it usable for? To which the Gemara says, "Lo nitzircha da afagav denakid besichi." So the Gemara says, even though it's held together besichi, Rashi says over here, "Besichi yisedos ketanos shal eitz." Wooden pegs. So we'll say apparently before they would go ahead and fully finish shoes, you were able to go ahead and just hold it together with wooden pegs, or you do two stitches on the front, two stitches on the sides, two stitches on the bottom. It holds it together at least in some basic way. So even though technically speaking it's usable, nevertheless, because it's not usable in its full form, could be used, really, nobody would really go out with it, let me say, can't send it on Yom Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af lo min al lavan. Rabbi Yehuda said, you can't even go ahead and send a white shoe. Rabbi says, a white shoe is an unblackened shoe. They would dye the shoes before they would use it. So it's an undyed shoe. Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Matir B'Shachar. Rabbi Yehuda permitted you to go ahead and send a black shoe, but did not permit you to go ahead and send a whitened shoe, or I should say just a white shoe. Why? Because the white shoe still requires Beit HaSagir. What's Beit HaSagir? Rashi says, is gir min karka ha-mashchir. So this is a type of dirt. So apparently the way they would actually blacken their shoes was by rubbing some type of dirt on the shoe itself that had like a dyeing effect. So Rabbi Yehuda says you can send the blackened shoe because it's ready for use. You may not send the white shoe because the white shoe is still deficient and people won't use it. Remember, I will say, the guiding light principle is you could only send on Yom Tov what? Those items that a person would actually use on Yom Tov itself. Rabbi Yossi, Oser, B'shachar, Mipnei Shetzarach, Letzachtzecho. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, you can't even send a blackened shoe. Why? Because a blackened shoe is not ready either. You still have to, Letzachtzecho, that means to smooth it out. Apparently, according to Rabbi Yossi, the final step of shoemaking would be smoothing out the outside of the shoe. Until you smooth it out, people wouldn't use it, and therefore you can't send it unless it's smooth. V'lo pligi, they're not arguing. Mar kiasrei, Omar kiasrei. Each one is reflecting the norms of his particular city. Demar bisra lasachas ba'asrei demar bisra le'alabos. That is very interesting. Everything depends, you know, when you're making shoes out of the hide of the animal. So the shayla is, which side of the hide you use for the outside of the shoe? If you use the actual outside of the hide, if the outside of that is the outside of the shoe, that does not need to be smoothed. It does not need to be smooth. That's ready to be used. If you use the inside of the hide, which was the part of the hide that was closest to the flesh, there are multiple layers on that side of the hide. They need to be smoothed out in order to be able to go ahead and be used and for a person to be comfortable using it for a shoe and to be blackened. So therefore, again, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda are just reflecting. Apparently, you know, in one of their cities, they would make shoes in a particular way. In another city, they make shoes in another way. Okay? So the Gemara goes right there. Zeh klal. This is the principle. Anything that can be used on Yom Tov, that you can get benefit from on Yom Tov, you're permitted to send. Rav Sheshes, Shari Luhul Rabban, is very interesting. Lishadure Tfilin Biyama Tava. Rav Sheshes allowed the rabbis to send the gift of Tfilin. To send Tfilin on Yom Tov. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amrli Abai V'ha'anan Tinan, Kol shini usin bo biyom tov. But Abai said, one second, we just said before that the only thing you could send is what? The only thing you could send on Yom Tov is things that you could use on Yom Tov itself, to which the Gemara says, this is what it means to say, anything that could be used during the week, you can go ahead and send on Yom Tov. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, anything that is ready for use during the week, meaning that will be ready for immediate use during the week, you can send on Yom Tov. Mishalchan also Yom Tov. Dahai b'Yom Tov diktani masnisin lav ane osin de lekamei koi ela al mishalchan de basrei ula asuye tefillin asa di inami manachlu b'Yom Tov leka isura umiyo b'sandal hamasumar. So we'll say, listen to this. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is something very interesting. That you could send on Yom Tov not just something that is fit for immediate Yom Tov use, but something that is fit for immediate Chol use as well. Meaning that nothing has to be done or changed in the item to use it during the Chol. As soon as Yom Tov is over, you're permitted to go ahead and use it. And I will say, what's the logic of that? The logic of this is very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah comments on this, and he says, because when you receive a gift that you know is going to be readily usable on Chol, that gives you simcha. Even on Yom Tov. That gives you, now, what I find fascinating about this is it's such a slippery slope, that idea, but that's how the Mishnah Berurah understands it, that even when I receive a pair of tefillin on Yom Tov, the mice again, because I know that on Chol, I'll be able to immediately use that, that gives me a feeling of Simchas Yom Tov already. I'm sorry? Pas Pasalo, yeah. Amar Abaye. Now, Basai, again, remember this, but this only applies to things that will be immediately usable on Chol. So for example, it won't apply, let's say, to wheat, because remember we asked for wheat yesterday, because at the end of the day, wheat is not immediately usable on Chol. Wheat still needs to be ground and made into flour in order to be able to be used in Chol as well. Amar Abaye, tefillin. So we'll say, again, and also the idea is, when it comes to tefillin, remember, we'll see in just a moment, tefillin, technically speaking, can be worn on Yom Tov as well. There's no mitzvah, although that's machlokis itself as well. But should you need to transport tefillin, there are ways to transport tefillin by wearing it even on Yom Tov. Let's see the Gemara. Amar Abaye.
Why is that necessary criteria?
No, it's not. It's just minimizing the novelty of it. That since tefillin is not totally alien to Yom Tov, so one could go ahead and gift it on Yom Tov as well. It's not muktzah.
Yeah. Is that today? It's not muktzah.
I'm sorry? No, we pass in tefillin on muktzah. But again, well, let's see the Gemara. Should there be a case of need, one is permitted to go ahead and move them. Amar Abaye, tefillin ho'il va'asu li'adan, ne'mal behu milsa. So Abaye said, you know, now that we're talking about tefillin already, let's talk about it a little bit more. Ha'yabab derechu tefillin barosho. If a person was traveling on the road and his tefillin was on his head, or v'shaka alav chamo, and then I was like, so what's the case? The case is Erev Shabbos. It's Erev Shabbos. I'm traveling. It's late. So what happens? My tefillin, I'm wearing my tefillin, but obviously I don't want to take it off because I'm in the middle of traveling. So what do? Maniach yado aleim. I put my hand on top of my tefillin shorosh. Ad shemagia lebeso. In other words, I hide it. Rashi says, "Maniach yado aleim shelo yirum, that no one should see it." V'chachamim hetiru lo lahachnis liir derech malbush, dehi avar kila achayad mishum bizayon. I will say the difference over here is I'm wearing the tefillin. Because I'm wearing the tefillin again, this is not called tiltul, it's not called carrying, rather it's called wearing. And because it's called wearing, lemaisa again, it's permitted. Now it's permitted in this very specific case of what? Of where it's permitted in this very specific case of where, again, I have a concern that I can't put down the tefillin somewhere because of bizon, because it'll be a degradation to the tefillin. And you can wear it like this until you get to the house. Now the idea is you're covering it up. It doesn't talk about your shalyad, because the assumption is the shalyad is already covered. So the Gemara says, Hayoshi Babes Hamedrish, if someone was sitting in the base medrash, Utfilin Borosho, and his tefillin was on his head, the Kidesh Alav Hayom. And again, I'm sitting in the base medrash, and it's close to Shabbos. I didn't realize it's close to Shabbos. So what do? Maniach yado aleim ad shemagia lebeis. So same idea. I'm wearing my tefillin. I could wear my tefillin home, covering up the shal rosh. Masiv Rafuna Breidu Rav Ika. But yet Rafuna raises a kasha. Hoya Baba Derech Utfilin Barosho. The Braisa says that someone was traveling and he was wearing his tefillin. V'kidish Alav Hayom. And Shabbos is about to start. What do you do? Maniach Yodu Aleim Ad Shemagi Lebayis HaSamach L'choma. You could wear the tefillin until where? Until you get to the house closest to the wall of the city. Okay. Similarly, Hayoshe Beis HaMedrash. If one was sitting in the base medrash and Shabbos is starting, maniach yodo aleim ad shemagia lebayis hasamoch lebayis hamedrash. Similarly, you could wear your tefillin, keep your hand on your tefillin shalyad until when? Until you get to the home next to the base medrash. So we'll say it's a contradiction. What's the contradiction? In the first price, we said you could wear it until where? Until you get home. Now in the second price, what do you say? You could wear it until when? You could wear it until the home closest to the wall of the city. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. Rabbi say, when do we say that you can only wear the tefillin until the house closest to the wall or the house closest to the base medrash? That's when that home is guarded. That if I put my tefillin down there, I know my tefillin will be safe and secure until the end of Yom Tov. Versus the first brisa, where I can wear it all the way home, is talking about a case where the home is not secure and therefore I can't wear it all the way home. The ilo mintura, excuse me, then therefore I can wear it all the way home. The ilo mintura, my area, barosho, afilu mechasan ba'aranami. Now, what says the Gemara, if you're talking about a situation where there's no secure location to put the tefillin, meaning that home, let's say it's close to the wall, that home that's close to the base medrash is not secure, then why do you even have to set it up as a case where I'm wearing my tefillin? Even if my tefillin or chas shalom sitting on the ground, I'm still permitted to carry them home. After all, we said, the hotnan, we learned, hamotzi tefillin machnisin zug zug. If a person finds tefillin lamosai, where on the ground, let's say I'm walking and I see tefillin again in the field, what could I do? Remember, we saw this in Shabbos and in Erevin. You could bring them into the city, halabosai, one pair at a time. How? By wearing them. I put them on, I wear it derech malbush, as a way of clothing, and therefore the ma'isa, again, it's permitted. So the Gemara says, lo kasha. So the Rabbah says, so what's the chiddush? Then obviously, again, if the home is not guarded, of course I can carry it to my house. The ma'isa, again, and that's true even if I'm not wearing it. Even if I found it on the ground, I could carry it to my house in order to secure it. Why do I need this case? Oh, lo kasha, ha-mintra machmas ganavi, Umachmas klavi, hadmintra machmas klavi, vlomintra machmas ganavi. So the Gemara says, what's the case? The case is where the home is guarded from dogs, but it's not secure enough against thieves. So let's say again, I have a location that will prevent animals from getting in, but won't prevent thieves from getting in. So the Gemara says, what would I have said? Now what the Gemara is saying over here like this, what the Gemara seems to be saying is the following, that the case of where the Braisa said that I could wear the tefillin all the way home is talking about what kind of case? Where the home is secure against animals, but the closest home to the wall, the closest home to the base, is secure against animals, but what? Not secure against thieves. Versus the case where I have to go ahead and put the tefillin in, the closest home to the base medrash, or the closest home to the wall, is where it's secure against animals and thieves. So what's the havamina? Ma'u detema rov listim yisran linhu. I'm going to say what? I live in a Jewish neighborhood. And when I live in a Jewish neighborhood, the majority of thieves are who? Are Jews. Now this is what the Gemara is assuming, that in a heavily populated Jewish area, the majority of thieves are Jews. And therefore again, v'lo mezazli b'hu. And therefore, again, even Jewish thieves are still good. Even Jewish thieves are still, you know, amcha. And therefore, as much as they'll steal your plasma television or your computer, no one's going to desecrate your tefillin. No one's going to take your tefillin. Kamash balan, no. Kamash balan, that a thief is a thief is a thief. And therefore, again, we have to be concerned, even with a Jewish thief, that the person may take the tefillin. Therefore, Abosa, the way the Gemara comes out, ultimately, is that Lemaisa, you may wear the tefillin to your home if there is not a secure location, both against animals and against human thieves. But if there is a secure location closer to the wall of the city, or ultimately, again, closer to the base medrash, that's where the tefillin must be deposited until the end of Yom Tov, or I should say the end of Shabbos. Hadron Allah, Beitzah. So apparently it must have been that the base medrash was not considered to be a guarded place. Just working backwards, the fact that the Gemara does not even entertain that suggestion seems to indicate that Lamaisa, people were nervous about leaving their stuff there. Let me just check this out. Cold enough. All right. Jose says the Gemara, the Mishnah. Yom Tov Shchal Yos Erev Shabbos. We'll say new halacha. Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos. Lo Yivashel B'Tchila MiYom Tov LeShabbos. You may not go ahead and cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos. Ava Mevashehu LiYom Tov. But what can you do? You can go ahead and be Mevashel to Yom Tov. Vim hosir. So we'll say again. Now, this, just to give you the background to this, we're going to be talking about the halachos of Erev Tavshilin. So therefore, the Mishnah just begins with a general principle that you may not prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos. We already saw this in the beginning of the first parak. And therefore, again, you may not go ahead. You may not go ahead and prepare for Yom Tov to Shabbos. However, what can you do? You could cook for Yom Tov. And if you have leftovers, vim hosir hosir l'Shabbos, if you have leftovers, you can use your leftovers for Shabbos. V'osa tav shel me'erev Yom Tov. Furthermore, you can go ahead and make a cooked dish from Erev Yom Tov. V'somich alav l'Shabbos. And you could rely on that for Shabbos. And we'll see exactly what this means. But bepashos, what the Mishnah means is like this. If you create, just in a nutshell, the way that the mechanics of Erev Tavshilin are the following. When you go ahead and you set aside cooked food on Erev Yom Tov, and you say that this is for Shabbos, you have effectively begun your Shabbos preparations already on Erev Yom Tov. When you've begun your preparations on Erev Yom Tov, any other preparations become an extension of that weekday preparation. So that even though you may be doing things on Yom Tov, that's not considered as if Yom Tov is preparing for Shabbos. Rather, again, it's an extension of your weekday activities for Shabbos. So therefore, you go ahead. So what can you do? Say, what comprises an Erev Tavshilin? Shnei Tavshilin, you need two cooked foods. Tavshil Echad, you only need one food. Vishavin, and Rabbi say Tavshil means a cooked food as opposed to a baked food, as we'll see in the Gemara. Vishavin, and they both agree. Bedag ubeitza sha'alav shen shnei Tavshilin. Everyone agrees, Rabbi say, that if you have a dish of a fish with an egg on top of it, right? They would coat the fish with some type of egg, that's considered to be like two Tavshilin. Achlo osha avdu. Rabbi say, if you ate your Erev Tavshilin or you lost your Erev Tavshilin prior to preparing for Shabbos, so I got a little hungry on the first day of Yom Tov, right? And I ate my Erev Tavshilin, you're out of luck. Lo yivashel alav betchila. You may not go ahead now. I will say what meaning, because once the Erev is gone, you may no longer prepare on Yom Tov for Shabbos, because again, Rabosai, then that would be a bona fide act of preparation for Shabbos on Yom Tov. You no longer have the weekday extension. However, v'imshir memenu kol shehu somech alav l'Shabbos. Rabosai, if you ate the majority of the Erev, but there's still something left, you can, in fact, rely on that for Shabbos. So the Gemara says, menahani mili. From where do we know this? You know, what the Gemara is asking is, the concept, obviously, of Erev Tavshilin is rabbinic in nature. So the Gemara is not asking, what's the pasuk that tells us about Erev Tavshilin? Instead, what the Gemara is doing over here is that the Gemara is asking, do we have some type of scriptural allusion? It's what's called an asmachta. That's when Chazal make a halacha, they like to know, is there some hint to it in the Torah? So the Gemara is, menahani mili, Amar Shmodo, Amar Kra, the pasuk says, Zohar es yom ha-shabbos l'kadsho. Remember the Shabbos day to sanctify it. What do we see here? Shmuel is picking up on is, generally, you only have to tell people that they have to remember something when there's the possibility that they're going to forget. Zachrehu, make sure to remember the Shabbos, me'achar sheba lahashkicho. After there's the possibility, ultimately, of forgetting it. Now, Rabosai, when would you end up going ahead and forgetting Shabbos? Look at Rashi. Zachrei me'achar sheba lahashkicho, kesheba yom tov be'erev Shabbos. Because when Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, when Yom Tov falls out on Erev Shabbos, Karov Shabbos lishtakeach, Shabbos may be forgotten. Machmas Yom Tov, Shemar be'sudo sayom. Now, Rabosai, what does it mean that Shabbos is going to be forgotten? Ve'ino maniach l'Shabbos k'dei kivodo. What's the concern? Remember, you all say, Yom Tov has something that Shabbos does not, which is a mitzvah of simcha, v'samachta v'chagecha. So in the midst of all the simcha of Shabbos, of Yom Tov, one may come to forget about Shabbos. Therefore, the Torah says, Zachar es yom ha-Shabbos l'kadsho. Make sure to remember the Shabbos. Don't forget the Shabbos. And I will say, how do we do that? The way we do that, says Shmuel, is with an Erev Tavshilin. Because the Erev Tavshilin reminds us that we must also be able to prepare and set aside sufficient and appropriate food for Shabbos as well. My time, what's the reason for this? Amar Rava, k'dei sheyivor mana yafa l'Shabbos u'mana l'af yom tov. So Rava says, in order that what? In order that we go ahead Meaning the whole point of Erev Tavshilin is that we go ahead and set aside a nice portion of food for Shabbos, a nice portion of food for Yom Tov. Or in other words, by beginning my Shabbos preparations already on Erev Yom Tov, that's a trigger, that's a reminder that I have to go ahead and set aside something mechubad for Shabbos as well. Rav Ashi says, Kadesh Yomru ain ofin miyom tov l'Shabbos kavachor miyom tov l'chol. Both Rav Ashi says it serves another purpose, which is that when people see the Erev reminds people that you may not prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, and it creates a kavachomer. If you can't create from Yom Tov to Shabbos, then all the more so what? You may not cook from Yom Tov to Chol. So the Gemara goes weiter. Tanan, O setav shome erev Yom Tov v'somech alav l'Shabbos. So the Mishnah said, what do you do? You set aside a cooked food from erev Yom Tov, and you rely on it for Shabbos. I mean, I will say, what the Gemara is saying is, you have to go ahead and create the Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yom Tov. Bishlam al-Rav Ashi. So according to Rav Ashi, the fact that you have to make the Erev Tavshilin on Erev Yom Tov makes sense. Why? The Amar Kedeshi Yomru ain ofim miyom tov l'Shabbos. Hainu dimi Erev Yom Tov in, biyom tov lo. Because Rabosai, again, according to Rav Ashi, the whole point of Erev really is to be a reminder that the same way that you can't prepare from Yom Tov to Shabbos, you may not prepare from Yom Tov to Chol. If that's the case, that reminder is only significant when you prepare it on Erev Yom Tov. If you were to prepare that on Yom Tov, that would be an act of preparing for Yom Tov to Shabbos. So therefore, according to Rav Ashi, I understand why the Erev has to be prepared on Erev Yom Tov. Ela l'rava, my irya me Erev Yom Tov. Afilu b'yom tov nami. But Rabba say, according to Rav, remember, what does Rava say? Rava says the whole point of Erev is in order to make sure that you set aside a nice portion for Shabbos and a nice portion for Yom Tov. Why do you have to go to make the Erev Tavshilon on Erev Yom Tov? You should be able to make it on Yom Tov itself. To which the Gemara says, Einachi nami, that is true. Elegzera shema yipasha. Rabba say, what's the concern? The concern is you may be negligent. You may be negligent. We're concerned that you may be negligent, and therefore Lamaisa, again, We don't want you to wait until Yom Tov itself. We want you to do an Erev Yom Tov. Okay. V'tana ma'isila mahacha. And I will say another Tana brings the source for this practice from here. Eis asher tofu afu. V'eis asher tivashlu bashelu. So I will say over here the Gemara quotes from Shmos. I'm sorry. V'eis asher, asher tofu efu. V'eis asher tivashlu bashelu. So I will say literally translated, that which you shall bake, or that which should be baked, bake. That which should be cooked, cook. Mikan Amar Rebbe Lazar, from here Rebbe Lazar says, Ein ofen ela ala afui, ve'in mevashlin ela ala mevushal. Rebbe says, this is a very interesting idea. See, the Torah's wording over here is very strange. Remember, the Torah's saying over here, this is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the people. He's actually telling them about the double portion of man that's going to fall on Friday. And he tells them, listen, whatever you need to cook, whatever you need to bake for Shabbos, do it today on Erev Shabbos. And both say, this idea, so what Moshe Rabbeinu says, everything you're going to bake, bake. Everything you're going to cook. Why don't you just say, just do your baking and do your cooking today? Why do you need the double lashon? So the Gemara understands from here that actually, you're supposed to remember, we have a strong connection between Yom Tov and Shabbos, right? What applies for one applies to the other. We saw earlier in the Masechta. So what the Gemara understands from here is that you can only cook for Shabbos. You can only cook for Shabbos as an extension of that which has already been cooked. And you can only bake for Shabbos. That's an extension that's already been baked. What is this referring to? It's referring to Erev Tavshilin. That's what Rabbi Yossi says. So essentially, when I begin the process of Shabbos preparations and Erev Yom Tov, I am permitted to extend those processes on Yom Tov as well for the sake of Shabbos, because they are considered to be an extension of those weekday processes. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Begin your process of baking today on Chol, therefore you could extend it on Yom Tov for the sake on Shabbos. Begin your process of cooking today so that you may extend it again on Yom Tov for the sake of Shabbos. I will say, and therefore, Mikan Samchu Chachamim Le'eruv Tavshilin. And this is what the rabbis based their idea on Erev Tavshilin. I will say, this is also very important for our purposes. Why? Because this is the reason we also require for Erev Tavshilin, we pass in La Halacha La Maisa, that we require one cooked item and one baked item. That's why halacha l'maisa, you really need both. Why? Because what we essentially do is, now again, it doesn't have to be an item that I cook or an item that I bake. It can even be something that I bought. But l'maisa, again, what I do with Erev Tavshilin is I begin the process of cooking, I begin the process of baking, and therefore everything else that I do over the course of Yom Tov is considered to be an extension of those weekday activities. Why do I need to do that? Why is that necessary? For all the reasons we saw before, in order that one makes sure not to go ahead and forget about Shabbos, in order that one makes sure to go ahead and set aside a nice portion for Shabbos, and ultimately in order to remind us that the same way that we can't prepare from Shabbos to Yom Tov, I also may not prepare from Yom Tov to Chol. So the Gemara says the following, Tanu Rabbanan, it's very interesting, Gemara. So there's a story that Rabbi Eliezer was giving a shin. Rabbosai, remember, this is just to frame this the right way. This was Yom Tov. So he's sitting on Yom Tov in the base Medrash, and what is he doing? He's giving a drasha. Not a drasha, a shir. And Mamish, the shir is going long. Dorish kol hayom kula. Mamish, it's going past 11:30. He's saying, right? He's going yet, he's darshining. What happened? Bilchos Yom Tov, and laws of Yom Tov. Yotzesa kas rishona. So we'll say, at a certain point, people begin kind of leaving. You know, they begin filing out. So the first group leaves. So Rabbi Eliezer, we're going to see, he's actually very upset. He's very offended. And what happens? He says, Amra halalu ba'alei pitasin. Petesin. These must be the owners of large barrels. Now we'll say, look at Rashi. Rashi says, now Yotas Akas Rishona Lisod Suudas Yom Tov. They left to go and have their Yom Tov Suda. Vinichu Dorish, and Rabbi Eliezer is still giving the shir. So the first group left. Rabbi Eliezer said, oh, they must see Bali Petesin. Chavios Kidolos Echino Lahem Ba'anu Malin Umasach mishtos. So I'll say, oh, these people must own large barrels of aromatic wine, of spiced wine. Lefichach, maru lotzeis. Oh, they must have a lot of wine waiting for them at home. Kilomar, ba'ali nefesh hein ve'enin yegelish matora. He was giving them a shtach. Right, he was giving, meaning he was saying, oh, look at these people. Oh, they must be running home to their wine. These must be people who really value their wine more than they value their neshamas. Kachnia, but yet the shir must go on. So he continues. The next group gets up and leaves. Amr halalu ba'ali chavios. Oh, these people must have kegs at home. In other words, we'll say same thing. But apparently these people were in less of a rush than the first group. And therefore, again, they must have less wine at home. Okay, but they still need to get to their wine. Kashlishis, the third, he's still giving the shir. Third group gets up. Amr halalu ba'ali kadin. Oh, these individuals must be the owners of jugs of wine. Kat Revius, the fourth group gets up. Amr halale ba'ali leginin. They must be owners of flasks. Kas Chamishis, the fifth group gets up. Amr halalu ba'ali kozos. So we'll say, because Rabbi Lizer assumes that the longer they wait, they have less to go home to. But at the end of the day, everyone is going ahead and leaving for the sake of nourishing their body at the expense of their soul. Hischilu kas shlishis latzeis. The sixth group is getting ready now to leave. Amru halalu bali meira. And I will say this is actually very strong wording. He says the bali meira. Meira means, meira can mean a couple of two things. Meira could mean a curse. Meira can mean destruction or desolation as well. So he's saying the sixth group that got up, they're cursed, desolate people. Now, I will say the reason why he was even starker with them is because at this point in time, there's virtually no one left. You know, it's one thing to leave in the beginning when, all right, there's still a group that's there. But when you see the numbers are dwindling and you get up and you leave, that's even a greater shtach to the person who's giving the shir. So, Nasan Einov B'Talmidim. So, I will say, Rabbi Eliezer begins to look at the students who are still remaining. Hischilu Pnei Mishtanin. Their faces began to turn white because the students who remained, they thought Rabbi Eliezer was angry at them. Amar lahem bonai. So he said to them, my sons, Lo lachem ani omer. I'm not talking to you. You're good. You're here. You stayed at the shir. Please understand, my anger is not directed at you. My anger is directed at those who left. Why? He says, I'm disappointed in them that they go ahead and they set aside eternal life to simply engage in temporal life. Right? So they had Torah here in the Beis Medrash. It's Yom Tov. I know everybody's hungry, but when do you get to go ahead and sit and learn? They left. They just walked out on eternal life in order to simply go ahead and feed themselves temporal life. B'shas Petirasan. When the shir was over, so the remaining group of students who leave, Amar Lemi said to them, L'chu ichlu mishmanim v'shasu mamtakim. So he said to them, please go eat. We'll say mishmanim means go eat delicious food, literally fatty food. Go eat the good food. V'shasu mamtakim, go drink your sweet wine. V'shilchu manos le'in nachon lo. And make sure to send food to those who do not have prepared food. Ki kadosh hayom la'adonenu, because today is holy for our God. Ve'al ta'atzu, do not be sad. Ki chedvas Hashem hima oschem, because the joy of God is literally your strength or your security. And I also remember, he's quoting here from the pasuk from Nehemiah. So what does this pasuk from Nehemiah mean? So listen to this. He says, Amar mar, shemanichim chayi olim ba'oskim b'chayi shan. And I also say, let's analyze this. Rabbi Eliezer was upset. Why? Because the people in the Beis Medrash were leaving, and he said they're leaving aside eternal life to simply embrace temporal life. And he was upset about that. So the Gemara said, what are you talking about? Vas simchas yom tov mitzvihi. But they're not going out to party. They're going to go out. Maybe they are going out to party. But again, the Ma'ase said, simchas yom tov. And simchas yom tov, right? Rejoicing on yom tov is a mitzvah. I will say, this is very interesting. Rabbi Eliezer Latameh. Rabbi Eliezer goes according to his reasoning. Because what does Rabbi Eliezer say? The Amar simchas yom tov reshus. Rabbi Eliezer says that Simchas Yom Tov is a Rishus. Rabbi will say Rishus means optional. What does this mean? Rabbi will say this is so lemaisa for us. Disanya, Rabbi Eliezer says, Ein lo li adam biyom tov ela o ochel v'shosa o yoshev v'shona. Rabbi Eliezer says that on Yom Tov, a person should either eat or drink, or sit and learn. Meaning Rabbi will say, according to, now Rabbi Eliezer is not literally saying that it's an either or. What he's saying is, should a person choose not to make Yom Tov about physical celebration, but should a person even decide to go out and devote himself fully to spiritual pursuits, he has that license. He has that right. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua says, Chelkeu, what's the goal on Yom Tov? You have to split Yom Tov. Chetz Yav LaHashem, V'chetz Yav Lachem. Half of the day is for me. I should say half of the day is for God. Half of the day is for me. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan is a fundamental machlokes in Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Again, Rabbi Eliezer is saying, again, I want to just be clear. He's not saying either. He's not saying you have to make a choice. What he's saying is, it's your choice to make. It's your choice to make. Which, by the way, Rabbi Eliezer also says that if you want to split it, you could also split it. But the idea ultimately is that should you choose to go ahead and totally forego the physical celebration and devote yourself to spiritual matters over Yom Tov, you have that right, you have that license. Rabbi Yochanan says, they both dash in the same pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Or two psukim. Kasuv echad omer atzeres l'Hashem Elokecha. So I will say, one pasuk says, it shall be an atzeres. It shall be atzeres is a holy convocation. That helps, right? Atzeres, right? A gathering or stopping point, a period of time for Hashem Elokecha, for Hashem your God. Because of Echad Omer, Atzeres Tielachem. So also, we seemingly have contradictory psukim. One pasuk says Yom Tov is for Hashem. The other pasuk says Yom Tov is for you. So Haketzot. So how do you go ahead and reconcile these ideas? Rabbi Eliezer says, O kula l'Hashem, O kula l'Hashem. Shabbos saying, Rabbi Eliezer's model, the Torah is giving you two different paradigms. Two different paradigms that the Torah is giving you a choice. You can either make it l'atzeres l'Hashem alokecha, or you can make it atzeres l'Hashem. It's up to you, one or the other. However, again, Rabbi Yeshua says, no, it's not two options. Rather, again, they're coming to form one comprehensive option, which is what? I'm sorry. B'shua Savar, Chalkeu, split the day. Chetziav Lashem, the Chetziav Lachem. Split the day, half to Hashem, half to your Bosa. And therefore, again, Rabbi Eliezer gets upset. Because remember, Rabbi Elazar said that people leave him because Rabbi Elazar felt that they should have devoted themselves to spiritual matters. They should have made the day of Atzeres LaHashem Elokeichem, and instead they made the day Atzeres LaHashem. That's what he got upset about. Rabbi say, we don't paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, we paskin like Rabbi Yoshua. That's how the Rambam codifies, Shulchan Aruch codifies it, that Lamaisa again Yom Tov is observed as Chatzi LaHashem and Chatzi LaHashem. Half for the Ribon Shalom, half for us. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, "My le'in nachol no." Rabbi Yosef, remember now, when the last students are leaving the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Eliezer says to them, "And go ahead and celebrate Yom Tov, and make sure to give to those who have not prepared." So, what does that mean? Give to those who have not prepared. Amar Rav Chista le'mi shelo hiniach erev tavshilin. Rabbi Yosef is very interesting. Rav Chista said that Rabbi Eliezer was telling his students that make sure to give. Make sure if somebody has not prepared erev tavshilin, make sure you go ahead and you give to that person food. Because it will say, if somebody didn't prepare Erev Tavshilin, then what? Then the mice again, they're stuck. Well, now again, we'll discuss what the contemporary mechanisms are if somebody forgot Erev Tavshilin. But at least on some level, somebody forgot Erev Tavshilin, they're stuck for Shabbos. So make sure you keep an eye out for those who don't have an Erev. Ika de Amri, will say, is very interesting. Others say, no. Mishalo hayolo lahaniach Erev Tavshilin. That who is Rabbi Elazar telling to watch out for? Someone who didn't have a chance to prepare Erev Tavshilin. So if somebody didn't have a chance to prepare Erev Tavshilin, they got busy on Yom Tov, they had a Levi on Yom Tov, something happened, they couldn't prepare. So therefore, for that type of person, look out for them. But Rabosai, someone who had the time to go ahead and make an Erev Tavshilin, and did not do so, posheahu. Rabosai is negligent, and you know what? Let him eat Cheerios. Because if he eats Cheerios on one Shabbos, right, what's going to happen? Guarantee you he won't forget the Erev Tavshilin. By the way, we'll see, interestingly enough, that Chazal take an unusually hard line against those who forget to make the Erev. We'll see that even for those who forget to make an Erev Tavshilin, there is a communal fail-safe, but the communal fail-safe can only be used twice, right? Once you use the communal fail-safe twice, you're done. You may not rely on communal fail-safe ever again. We'll see in the Gemara. Well, we'll discuss the poskim that bring this down. But again, because Chazal felt that one who does not go out and make Erev Tavshilin has demonstrated an incredible lack of covered Shabbos. And because of that, again, a person's not going to be without what to eat. Okay, you might not have a nice suda. The assumption is somebody's always going to have something to eat. So therefore, the Gemara says over here, Rabbi Elazar is questioning his students. Look out for the people who could have made it, who didn't have the chance to make an Erev. Those who did have chance to make an Erev, wish them Hatzlacha Rabba. So the Gemara says, "My kiched vas Hashem himaus." Rambo says a beautiful Gemara. What does it mean? Because the joy of God is your security. This is so beautiful. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer, Reb Shimon, Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. God says to the Jewish people, "Bonai, my children, lovu alai v'kidshu kiddushas hayom." Literally, borrow on me and sanctify the day. In other words, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do is what Rabbi Osai, that we should never worry about how much money we spend on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Because the money that we spend on Shabbos and Yom Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm good for it. Borrow, I'll be your guarantor for that money. V'kidshu kiddush ha'sayom v'hamiru bi, and believe in me, v'ani poreya, and I will go ahead and pay it back. Because the Rebbe said the Ribono Shalom feels that again, that the when someone goes ahead and spends money on Shabbos and Yom Tov, why is a person doing that? A person is only doing that for one reason, to be mechabed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to give cover to the Shabbos, to give cover to the Ribono Shalom says, you could borrow that money, so to speak. I will guarantee those additional funds spent. V'hamiru bi, believe in me, v'ani poreya, and I will pay it back. So again, look at Rashi. Chad vas Hashem, simcha sha'atem osim b'shila kodesh baruch hu, the simcha that you do for God, hari hu ma'aschem, that'll be your strength. He ta'azur eschem l'shalem ha'kafoseichem u'malvaseichem shetilava bishvila. So therefore, again, I'm also what the pasuk actually means is kichad vas Hashem, that when you go ahead and you borrow because you want to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu joy, because you want to celebrate the Shabbos and the Yom Tov appropriately, hima uscham, it'll be your strength. The Ribono Shalom will take care of you. The Ribono Shalom will give you the strength to be able to repay those debts as well. Let's do two more lines. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon. Harotze sheyis kaimun v'chasim. If somebody wants his property to endure. Now what we're talking about over here, Rashi says she's kaimalot achasav shaliyeh adam chom son vegozel sadas yimen. Rabbi says if a person wants to make sure that his fields are never stolen. So let's say again, a person, you know, sometimes a person could squat on my property, you know, so let's say again, a person wants to make sure that property remains in his name and no one ever tries to say, claim that it's theirs. What should he do? Yita b'hen eder. You should plant an eder tree. You should plant, Rabbi say, an eder tree. Rashi says it's Ilan Choshefu. It's an important tree. Yeshlo Shin the Mirachok, the Omen Ploni Yeshlo Eder Besadeu. Umitoch Kach, he nikres al Shemo. Vim Holech Limedinas Hayam Uba Achar Vehexikba. Yeshlo Edim Harbe Shahaisa Shalo. The Ilumachra Haya Kalyotse Lios nikres al Shemo Shashin. Rabbi, listen to this. So an Eder tree is a very Choshefu tree. Not everybody had an Eder. So if you were a lucky guy and you had an Eder tree, everyone knew about your Eder tree. So says the Gemara, if you want to make sure that your field remains your property, plant an Eder tree. Because people will say, oh, you know what? That's Silber's Eder. That's Silber's Eder. It's on Silber's field. And therefore, if I were to go overseas and someone were to start living on that land and claim it was theirs, because the Eder is such a high-profile tree, it'll always be associated with me. And therefore, again, by definition, cement my claim to the property. So the Gemara Shenehemar, the Gemara makes a little bit of a play on words. Adir b'marom Hashem. Because we'll say again, just like we say, Adir b'marom Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exalted, right, in the heavens. So this Adir represents something that, again, is exalted as well. Inami Adra Kishmei. Or otherwise, again, as others say, actually, the actual name of the tree is the Adra. Kida Amri Inshi. My Adra. Why is it called an Adra? Dikaimi Lidari Dari. Because it stands from generation to generation. Tangi Nami Ochi, you have Brisa that supports this as well. Sada Sheyesh Ba Eder. When you have a field that has an Eder tree in it, Eina Nigzeles. It is never it can't be stolen. Ve Eina Nechmeses. It cannot be, Rabbi, Nechmeses means a Chamson. A Chamson is someone who goes ahead and doesn't steal, but forces you to accept payment for your property. It's someone who coerces you to sell. So again, a property that has an Eder tree on it is not going to be stolen. Eina Nechmeses is not going to be, there's not going to be a forced sale. Why, Rabbi Yosef? Because it's such a high-profile field. Because of the Eder tree, that a person will be able to retain property over it. Uperoseha mishtamarin. And its fruit, its produce will be guarded. Rashi says, Uperoseha mishtamarin. Lo yedana mahi. I'm not exactly sure why, says Rashi. Yesh mefarshin shenotin osa ala gvulin. V'yeshla anafin harbe. V'hu l'sadla gedas. Rabbi Yosef, apparently, again, the Eder tree also offers incredible shade, which according to Rashi is also beneficial for the fruit. So the idea ultimately is, the only reason the Gemara is bringing this up over here is because, first of all, again, we quote Rabbi Yochanan. That's really it. We quote Rabbi Yochanan's pshat on the pasuk Chedvas Hashem Hima Oschem, and therefore once you quote Rabbi Yochanan there, we quote Rabbi Yochanan over here as well. I will say one more line, and then we'll actually, you know what? We'll pick up over here Mirza Hashem tomorrow. Tani Rav Tachlifa. So we'll say again, reminder, daf tomorrow is 6 o'clock p.m. 6 o'clock, we'll do in the afternoon, so the mornings. We'll do in the afternoon, 6 o'clock p.m., and then it will be followed by the Navi Shir, and then the Mirza Hashem Mincha. 6 o'clock, both.